taking information and their intention changes. Instead of getting the tazkiyah done, meaning the purification of the soul process and really freeing the heart for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intention changes. And now some of you may have intention, intentionally or unintentionally, that now you want to gain knowledge. This is why you see people some this rut of taking notes so much that they forget and they don't, their ears don't hear everything because they're too busy writing. So I want you to take it easy. Don't write everything. You don't have to worry about slides at all. Even if the, consider the slides are not even there. Slides are just for the tool, you know, just to make you and keep you focused. They don't give you much information. Trust me, the slides don't even have 0.1% of the information that every juz, every ayah holds. They are just there to keep you focused and keep you happy. So don't worry about slides. If you miss it, perfectly okay. If you don't see it, that's perfectly okay too. If you're not able to take any points, that's perfectly okay too. Because keep reminding yourself, your intention should be gaining the love of Allah and nothing more. Because knowledge gaining is two different things, right? So another thing we need to set up here is that set your goals. Moving forward from juz 15 till juz 30, what is it that you want from this Quran? Number one, is it information? Because you'll get it anyway. Number two, is it the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if you want this, then you will get information along with it as a bonus. And number three, is it ilm that you want? What's the difference between information and ilm? Information is just an information, the knowledge that you gain. And that makes you proud of it. That gives you pride over it. And that makes you arrogant. And we learn arrogance comes from shaitan. So we need to avoid arrogance at 100%. Do not feel that now you are so knowledgeable. This is why your intention should be not to seek information, but the knowledge. Meaning, but the ilm. Ilm is something that has a second step in it too. What I mean by this is, when you seek knowledge, when you seek ilm, you should have a mindset that I want to take at least 1 point, or 2 or 3 points per day for myself. You know why? Because it's not even possible for human mind like you and I that we can grasp everything and move on with our life. So this, don't get into this trap of shaitan that I am learning and I can grasp everything and I am done with it. Because this is not fair with this book of Quran. This journey of Quran is just a reminder to go through so that you can get excited, so that you can want to bring Quran in your life, inshallah. So moving forward, inshallah, let's begin. And juz 15 theme. What is the juz 15 theme? Before we go to the themes and everything, let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs of today's juz, and we'll continue from there, inshallah.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعده، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. Today we are learning Juz 15. The theme of today's juz is doing good comes back to you. There's an ayah in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. What do we learn from this? If you do good, you do good for yourselves. In other words, all the good that you do, you are planning, you have already done, it is benefiting you. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you and I. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from any good we do. It's the good for ourselves. If you take this ayah as a mindset for yourself, then you would want to do good. Because you know what? We live in this world, a materialistic world, where they teach you, live for yourself. Everything that you should do, you should benefit. You know, have you ever heard people saying this question that, what am I getting out of this, right? This is the mindset people have. What am I getting out of this? Every time you do something good, every time you obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that you are getting goodness out of it for yourself. Forget about other people. You are the one who benefit from it first. So, and with that, inshallah, this mindset, this will help us moving forward, and it will motivate us to do more and more good. Because all our lives, we may be doing good, not really thinking, because this mindset is in Muslim Ummah, that if you become pious, if you become the people of taqwa, that means your life of this dunya is kind of, they don't understand that if they come to Quran, it is they themselves are benefiting from it, not in the akhirah. Of course, they'll get it there too, but that's too far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will get the goodness in this world, and it will show in your happiness, it will show in your mindset, it will show in your contentment, it will show in the form of love, it will show in the form of Allah giving you more and more opportunity to do good. It will show in your happiness, the way you see and the way people see you. So inshallah, with that, let's move to the next slide. Here we see the dua for the Juz 15. And this dua actually comes in Juz 15. This is in Surah Kahf, ayah number 10. And this dua is basically our goal setting dua. You know why? Because in this dua, we are asking what? I'm going to say it and you say it on your own too. So we can memorize this, because this is the dua. This is a compass. This is a guidance. This is a mindset. This is a goal setting, that what do we want for our life? And what is the dua? Rabbana atina min ladunka rahmatan wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada. What are you asking in this dua? Our Lord, grant us from yourself mercy. Notice here, min ladunka means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are asking to Allah that give me mercy from yourself, meaning within yourself, meaning direct source, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rahmah from His self in such a way that every matter of your life will become righteous. Well, this is why you say, after giving me rahmah from your side, you say, وَحَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, meaning, and prepare for us from our affairs right guidance. What does that mean? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever affairs I have in my life, especially the affair of my deen, make it straight, make it guided for me. In other words, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me focused, number one. Keep me on a straight path, number two. And make the straight path easy for me, number three. And become a light and guidance for me, so I don't get detracted and derail, and everything that I'm planning to do, that becomes straight. You know, when you and I plan something without making dua, things don't go right. Sometimes, take an example of simple cooking. If you plan for cooking, right at the time of the cooking, you may find, oh, some of the very crucial ingredient is missing, right? And then when you cook all the time, even though the dish came out just fine, but in your mindset it's going to be, no, you know what? It's not perfect. This is not the way I want it to happen. So when you ask this dua, Amrina Rashada, you are saying to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that task that I'm about to do, that goal that I'm, things can go wrong if I rely upon self, then I can really change my mind, my intention can go haywire, and all the wrong things can happen. So inshallah, with a just mindset, we have to come up with if that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to be rightly guided, because my theme for today is whatever I am doing is for my own good. So I want to do good. Inshallah. Let's move on to the next slide. Here we learn about the connection between the just 14 and just 15 themes. In just 15, the theme was be like a bee, right? So how can you be a bee like a bee, and what is it that can drive you to be like a bee? Now that we have learned that you have to, and I have a desire to become like a bee, very effective, very active, right? This cannot be done unless you know that who is the one who's benefiting from my help. Is it others or is it myself? So this is why the today's theme is in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum. So if you become like a bee, you will benefit people, but that's a secondary thing. You are benefiting yourself first. So with that mindset, rest assured, whatever you do is surely, definitely, no doubt about that, it will come back to you. With that, inshallah, let's go to the next slide. And in that, we learned some of the main points that we will learn today in juz 15. What are some of the points that we will learn today? Move forward with your life. Now that you have reached the midpoint of this Quran, move forward, inshallah, with a positive mindset, with a mindset, with a goal setting. And that's the goal setting we just learned, that min amrina rashada, my goal is to be guided all the way in every aspect of my life. Then we will learn that life will throw curveballs at you, and you just how to handle it, we will learn inshallah in there. And then importance of the tahajjud prayer, because now you need to know that the oneness of Allah and the nearness of Allah, when does it enter the heart? It doesn't enter by just doing the basics of fara'id, meaning 5 times prayer and fasting, what is required. Because that's a bare minimum everybody has to do. It is nothing special. The special thing is to do the tahajjud. From now on, let's make intention and dua now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving forward, I want to do the tahajjud every day. And if I miss it, I'm going to feel bad about it. And the next day, I'm going to start with a fresh intention before going to bed that, oh Allah, make me wake up early so I can do the tahajjud before I can eat my suhoor. And I want to carry this routine even Then we will learn that Quran is a shifa, meaning it is a cure for heart and spiritual soul. And then every blessing is a test. There will be 4 tests we will learning inshallah. 4 main trials of daily life will come in there, and Allah can make everything possible. And we will touch upon the story of Isra wal Miraj here, and everything is being recorded. Why? Because inshallah we will learn when we go to this ayah, and we will learn how important it is to humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will learn some more strategies of shaitan, how he entices us and how he attacks us. Then, let's go to the first ayah of today's juz, and that is Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 1. And from at the topic from ayah number 1 to 10 is unusual journey, because this is where the ayah starts. In this first ayah, we learn only first part of the journey of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he took within the land. And the second part of the journey, inshallah, we will learn in Surah Al-Najm. Here we will learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir raheem. Subhanallazi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-harami ilal masjid al-aqsa. Exalted is he who took his servant, that is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by night to al-masjid al-aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed to show him our signs. Indeed, he is hearing and knowing. Now, hearing and seeing. What do we learn in this? We learn here about this story that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken to Isra. This was the year. There is different narrations when this Isra took place. This was a journey that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took from Medina, from Makkah to Baitul Maqdis. And on our way, and he was sitting in a barak, and Jibreel Alayhi Salaam took him, and on our way, he was shown Medina in the middle. Medina, why? Because this was the indication Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that you will be settling here and you will be migrating here. So he got to see Medina before even getting there. So what do we learn here? That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this special special journey. Why? Because there are many, even though there are many narrations that when this actually took place, but the most authentic narration is that it took place in the year of Amul Huzn. What is Amul Huzn? Amul Huzn was the year when his uncle passed away and his wife Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, and he was very sad at the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this night journey possible for him, and this was only one night that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and on the way he saw numerous signs, and he came back with so many things, and he actually saw everything. So this is the journey, this is the belief all Muslims should have. Some Muslims say, you know what, this is not for real, it wasn't with a physical body, it was just a travel through the mind, maybe dream or something. As a believer, we need to know that this journey took place physically. He physically went up there, and there shouldn't be any doubt in minds of people, because we learned this from many ahadith, and it is confirmed that he was sitting in a barak. Barak was a kind of an animal, horse type or something, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this journey sitting upon him, and he was got, when he went to Mi'raj all the way up in the heavens, he was given many gifts there, and one of the gifts was salah, and salah was given 50 of them first, and then they were reduced to 5, but each salah, 5 salah we pray, each salah gets 10 rewards, and the last two surah al-Baqarah as ayahs, to ayah number 284 to 286, they were also gifted at the heavens, meaning they are the special ayahs. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites these two ayahs, the last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, these verses will be sufficient for him, because they hold some special place. And then he got also the gift of forgiveness for his ummah. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I met Ibrahim alaihi salam on the night of the journey, and he said, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say my salams to your ummah. Can you imagine Ibrahim alaihi salam is sending salam to his ummah? How beautiful this is. And we, you and I, are the part of this ummah. But problem is, we do ourselves. How many Muslims do you know that they value being Muslim? Muslims don't like to be Muslims anymore. May Allah really, truly guide our ummah and keep our amazing, amazing young youth on Islam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is sending salam to you and I. How amazing. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then, you know, we learned this dua that, oh Allah, forgive me and forgive all the believers. And when he met Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, give my salam to your ummah. Subhanallah, how beautiful. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown all the punishments, and he was shown many, many things there. So he had the akhirah, and they have this mindset, oh yeah, we'll see. We should know that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we claim to love, he actually saw everything with his own eyes. So inshallah, let's go to the next ayah. And we gave Musa the scripture and made it a guidance for the children of Israel, that you not take other than me as disposer of affairs, O descendants of those we carried in the ship with Noah. Indeed, he was a grateful servant. Notice here, highlight this part. He was Abdan Shakura. Noah alayhi salam was Abdan Shakura, meaning the person, the slave, that is extremely grateful. Here, you and I can take some lesson for us. What is extremely grateful means? Extremely grateful means saying Alhamdulillah every moment of the life, like just the breath that comes, and it be, should be showing in your attitude by not complaining, by being happy. Whatever comes in your life, may I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's make dua right now. how you and I can do that. Oh Allah, make us abdan shakura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Nuh alayhi salam was grateful, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam was a grateful servant, and then we learn about sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha, she reported that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed at night, Qiyamul Layl, he would stand until the skin of his feet swelled. So I said, O Prophet of Allah, do you do as such while Allah has forgiven you all your mistakes? He responded, should I not be a grateful servant of Allah? Look at it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already forgiven, and he was already prophet, and he would pray at night, so much so that his feet would swollen. Here we can ask a question. Are we able to get up for tahajjud prayer? Are we able to stand up for 10, 15, 20 minutes? If not, then how can we claim that we have a love of Allah? And how can we claim that we have a love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Singing nasheeds once in a while does not mean that we love. So we need to show our love. This is why let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us grateful servants. Ayah number 4. And we convey to you the children of Israel in the scripture that you will surely cause corruption on the earth twice, and you will surely reach a degree of the great haughtiness. This is the history of Bani Israel. They got the rise of the nation twice, and they got the fall of the downfall of the nation twice. And so when the time of the promise came for the first of them, we send against you servants of those who got of great military might, and they probed even into the homes, and it was promise fulfilled. Then we gave back to you our return victory over them, and we reinforce you with the wealth and sons, and in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. And if you do evil, you do it to them, that meaning yourself. Then when the final, that is second promise came, we sent your enemies to sadden your faces and to enter the masjid, that is the temple of Jerusalem, as they entered in the first time, and to destroy what they had taken over with total destruction. Then Allah said, it is expected if you repent that your Lord will have mercy upon you. But if you return to sin, we will return to punishment, and we have made hell for the disbelievers a prison bed. Indeed, this Quran guides to that which is most suitable and give good tidings. Question. Do we consider this Quran is guiding us the most suitable way? And a good tidings to the believers who do righteous deeds, and that they will have a great reward, and that those who do not believe in the hereafter, we have prepared for them a painful punishment. So the lesson from this paragraph, be traveling by night, goodness comes back to you, and Quran is a navigation that navigates your way to Jannah. If we don't open this Quran in our life, we are not navigating ourselves to Jannah, because for Jahannam, no navigation is needed. It just comes naturally to people. Let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 11 to 22. We learn that we must go through this life test to reach the Akhirah. So, and man supplicates for evil even when angry as he supplicates for good. And man is ever hasty. What do we learn here? Al-insana ajula. Man is always ungrateful. He's always complaining. And he is this habit that he only focuses on negative in life. And we have made the night and the day two signs. And we erase the signs of the night, made the sign of the day visible, that you may seek bounty from your Lord, and you may know the number of the years and the count of the time, and everything we have set out in detail. And for every person, we have imposed his fate upon his neck. I want you to highlight this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ, meaning every person, all of us, our fate is behind our neck, and we will produce for him on the day of resurrection a record which he will encounter spread open. Our book of deed, yours and mine, will be given in our hands. This will be book that is written by you. It will have your name in it, and in the place of the author, it will say so and so. In the place of when you would open the book, it will show exactly what you're writing. Consider yourself that you are a writer, whether you know it or not. You and I all are writer, and the empty slate every single day that begins is an empty page of my life, and am writing everything. What did I do today? Was I grateful today? Was I happy today? Was I complaining today? So next time, whatever you do, think of it, you are writing it, and it will be given to your hands one day. It will be said, read your record. Can you imagine? You and I will be reading our own handwriting, our own book, and Allah SWT will make us read. You know, in this dunya, when we do things, we forget, but Allah SWT is recording everything, and we will be given this book in our physical hand. And sufficient is yourself against you this day an accountant. You know what this means? لِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. That means Allah SWT will say, you don't need any more evidence. You are seeing what you did exactly, word to word, minute to minute, second to second, and moment to moment. And whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of his soul. Any right to destroy a city, we command is affluent, but they defiantly disobey therein. So the word that is deserved decree come into effect upon it, and we destroy it with complete destruction. Question, do we see this destruction going on in even in the developed countries? Why? Because Allah SWT is saying, when the elite, the eminent people are told, meaning the rich and wealthy people, and if they don't follow, what happens? Allah SWT afflicts everybody. And how many have we destroyed from the generations after Nuh? And sufficient is your Lord concerning the sins his servants as aware and seeing. Whoever should desire the immediate, we hasten for him from it. And what we will to whom we intend, then we have made for him hell, and which he will enter to burn, censored and banished. May Allah save us, Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. But whoever desires the hereafter and exerts the effort, I want you to highlight ayah number 19 for you, and because this is for you and I, but whoever desires work for this dunya only. Because if I don't desire, how do we know what are we working for? You know how? When we are easily given in by the commands of Allah SWT and we don't really resist, and there is no resentment about others people in their heart, in our heart, this is how we know, are we living for hereafter or are we living for this dunya? You and I can check ourselves in this mirror. What is it in my heart that I want? Is it this everyday happiness, or is it the happiness of this world or the hereafter? It is those whose efforts is ever appreciated. You know, Allah SWT is sayahum mashkura. Allah SWT does not let our efforts go to waste. He is appreciative. He is shakur. He is the one who never lets any effort goes to waste. Listen for us. You and I can try to be the best one because we want to be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to each category, we extend to these and those from the gift of your Lord. And never has the gift of your Lord been restricted. Look how we have favored in provision some of them over others. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that? Because to make this world run, imagine if everybody was rich, who would do the dirty job? Who would become a roto-rooter? Who would clean the sewage system? Who would clean and build your houses with the hard labor work? Who would do the gardening for you? If everybody is a queen, everybody is a king, everybody is the owner of the business, then who's going to be the workers? So in order to make this world run, Allah SWT made everybody different. So some of them over others, but the hereafter is greater in degrees of differences and greater in distinction. Meaning, here accept the lifestyle that Allah SWT has given you and I, because the distinction is based upon the deed. Wherever you are, Allah SWT will ask you according to whatever the position you're in. Allah will not ask you, how come you didn't take care of this part and that. Whatever is in our ability, in our circumstances, that's what we'll be questioned for. Do not make us equal with Allah, another deity, and thereby become censored and forsaken. So the lesson from this paragraph, importance of the Tahajjud, Quran is a shifa, book of deed will be given in our hand, we are the writers of the book, and guidance is for your own good, and Allah knows what you do. When dunya becomes near, akhirah becomes the behind scene, back of the mirror, right? And whoever asks for this dunya only, they get that. And whoever asks for akhirah, they get the dunya as a bonus anyway. So be akhirah oriented. Akhirah will be given based on effort. Why? Because according to standard of the efforts you put in, that's exactly what you get out. This is the same thing in this dunya too. And believe in one Allah only. And in the next slide, you learn Allah appreciates three types of things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah is appreciative, right? So, sa'yuhum mashkura barate. Number one, desire for akhirah. Number two, efforts that is accordingly, meaning the sunnah. And number three is iman, because if iman is not there, then there is nothing there. So if we can check ourselves, do I have iman? Do I have a desire of akhirah? Or do I effort according to sunnah? So, and the lessons continue from the previous lesson is seek Allah's bounty, and we are responsible for ourselves, and run towards goodness, and become slave of Allah only. In the next paragraph, ayah number 23 to 30, we learn power to choose is a test. Some people think, oh, we're given the choices, we're so happy, but you know what? It all becomes test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 23, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you worship not except him, and to parents good treatment. I want you to highlight this ayah and the reference number, because here we learn how the honor will come to you and I. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying to just be good to your parents, but do ihsan. What is ihsan? We will understand. Let's finish the ayah first and then we'll talk about it. And to parents, good treatment, whether one or both of them reach old age, which would you say not to them, so much so that oof. Here we are learning, just, you know, sometimes people have this mindset, serving parents means providing them. No. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking here that you have an emotional relationship with your parents. What does that mean? Take care of emotional needs of your parents. Meaning, parents at the old age, they don't have any physical desires that much, right? Parents do not have any physical desires, because at that age, they don't really want to go out, they get tired, and they have not much desire to wear new clothes either. So what is it that they want from you? They want your time, they want your attention, they want your respect, they want you to talk to them gently. Even though they will not say no, but if you give them importance by asking, it will make them happy. Talk to them. In this ayah, we learn many things. Number one thing is, you say to them, good treatment. What is the good treatment? Good treatment means you spend time with them. And, you know, sometimes some kids, what they do is they just give the parents money and they say, we're providing them comfort. Well, guess what? That's not the only thing they need. So give them company. Talk to them. Talk to them about their past. You know, they will be so happy to hear if you would say, so mom, tell me, when you were getting married, how was it? What you used to do? And stuff like that. Let them talk about their past, because this makes them feel so good. Spending time is ihsan, not just providing physically, okay? And the next thing we learn here is that don't say oof to them. Try to say oof. You see the breath of air coming out? You know what this means? Oof to them. You really make their hearts die. Because now it makes them feel bad. It, you know, sometimes parents, when you talk to them in a raised voice, it makes them so sad that they get quieter. Did you ever wonder why they get quieter? Because it hurts their heart when you talk to them rudely. When you say, mom, what's the matter with you? Don't you see I'm busy? And you know what? This is not the attitude what they're looking for. This is not the attitude what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have with our parents. So be very quiet, gentle, soft tone. And even if you don't want to listen to them, just quietly listen to them. Because you know why? By listening to them, by giving them time, Allah will bring you honor in this dunya. You know, if a person is very successful in this dunya, they may be having a degree and maybe big house and kids and all those goodness of this world, luxuries of this item, and they have vacation after vacation. But if their parents are unhappy, what good is it? So, what do we learn here? Our parents are doorway to Jannah. We need to spend time with them. We need to talk to them. We need to call them. If they're far away, call them every day. Whether you eat food or not, if you don't have time to eat dinner, that's okay. You can skip the dinner. Allah's mother will not make you die. But call your parents every single day while they're alive. Because as those who do not have their parents anymore alive. So this is the time you can use to call your parents. And do not repel them, but speak to them a noble word. Notice here. First, Allah SWT talk about how to sit with them, how to talk to them. And now Allah SWT is saying here, say qawlan kareema, meaning talk to them good words, the word that can make them happy, the words that they want to hear. You know what some people do? Some people try to correct their parents all the time. Mom, this is not how the thing's done. This is an old way of doing it. And they try to do tarbiyah of their parents. Instead of doing their tarbiyah, because at this age, they're not going to learn. They're going to stay the same way they are. So instead of correcting them, just be patient with them. Just listen to them. It's okay. And the ayah number 24 is also very important. It tells you the next step, how you're supposed to be dealing with your parents. And that is, and waqfiz lahum janaha dhillu. Sorry. Waqfiz lahum janaha dhilli min al-rahma. And lower to them the wings of humility out of mercy. What does that mean? I want you to think about it. Here, Allah SWT is talking about the posture. Not just talk to them nicely. Not just don't make any faces. Give them time. Be there for them. And then your posture, when you sit with them, when you talk to them, should not so effort. And show your humility. Show the respect. Your facial features should not be saying, you know, it's getting too long. I need to go run that errand. I have to take off my kids. I have to put them to bed. And my mom is talking so long. Your facial expressions should be so humble that they should like talking to you. Your shoulders should be so down that they should know that you are really respecting them. They should be able to feel the respect from your body. If you don't say a word, your body posture should show the respect to them. And out of mercy and say, my Lord, Rabbir hamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. This is the dua you make for them. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them the way they had mercy when I was a child. Remember yourself. You cannot even remember, but you were not even able to clean yourself. They're the one who cleaned you, who changed your diapers. They're the one who made you walk. They're the one who make you eat. You didn't know how to talk. They're the one who made you talk. You didn't know how to walk. They're the one who taught you how to walk. So be very nice and very, very gentle to them. And then what we learn here is that attitude matters a lot. Be extremely gentle to your parents. Talk to them with respect. Consider them as very special beings. Sit with them in posture that is really showing humility. Don't try to correct them all the time. It's okay. They have to live their life. That's fine. Let them go. Parents need our time, not our money. And this is the dua in the next slide that you see. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Now, when you say this dua, say it for your parents. Say it for your in-laws too. They're parents of your husband. So you should make dua, not your so what. They are parents. And of course, when you say this dua, remember your teachers, because they are the one who shape you who you are today. This is why you notice in this dua, it doesn't say the word walidain, because walidain is a word of Arabic, right? It should have said, Rabbir hamuma kama walidaini saghira. It doesn't say that. You know why? Because Rabbayani is the one who help you bring up the way you are. They shape you. They are the one, because of them, you are able to sit here and learn and operate this computer and are able to write. You're holding this pencil, taking this note. You know why? Because one of the teacher taught you this. Whether it's Arabic, whether it's math or science or social studies, they deserve your du'as. So make du'a for them. Include your in-laws in your du'as too. There's a, in the next slide, there's a hadith on Abdullah Umar Umar قال, he said, Abdullah bin Umar said, the pleasure of the Lord lies in the pleasure of the parent. The anger of the Lord lies in the anger of the parent. So this is such an important thing. We learn that we don't make our parents unhappy. We don't really make them sad. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see, if parents are not alive, what should we do? Because when parents are alive, you can do all this what's written in there. But some of us may be there who don't have the parents. What should you do? We learn from Hadith, upon their death, the sons and daughters should be able to shroud them. Today, how many kids do you know that actually know how the shrouding process works? So if we haven't taught our kids to how to do shrouding, then there is a problem. You should talk to them and prepare them, because if our parents are gone, at least we can train them to shroud and then pray janaza on them. If you have a son, he should be able to do janaza on you. Why do you have to call imam? Because imam is not going to do the janaza like the way your son can. So we need to teach our sons and daughters how to shroud the body and how to do the janaza prayer on them. And then if they have any debts, take care of them, fulfill their debts. And if they had any promises that they made in their life, try to fulfill them. And go visit their friend. If you cannot visit physically, call them, text them, send them card. This is Ramadan, is the best time you can do that. You know why? Because if they are your parents' friends, and it is your duty to help them and find out how are they doing. If they need any kind of help, you help them, make the dua for them. Important, so important. You know, when it comes to our kids, we are very keen to make them remember this dua. But when it comes to our parents, we don't take this seriously. And you know, when these ayahs are shared with us, most of the time the mindset is going towards our kids. I need to tell my kid this. They need to know this. They're being very disrespectful to me and this and that. And we forget, we are kid of our parents. No matter what age group we are still a kid to our parents, to make the offer them whether they are alive or they're not here in this world anymore. And do sadaqah jariyah for them, inshallah. You know what? The bottom line is, value your parents now before it's too late. Ayah number 25, your Lord is most knowing of what is within yourself. If you should be righteous in intention, then indeed he is ever to the often returning to him, forgiving. And give the relative his right, and also the poor and the traveler, and do not spend wastefully. Indeed, the wasteful are brothers of the devils, and ever has Shaitan been to his Lord ungrateful. Question. Can we check how do we spend our money, where the most of the money goes? If you do the calculation, if you do the math in your monthly paycheck, big chunk goes to your living cost, your home, your rent, your car, your utility bill. And what is left, what do we do with that? If we just eat it out, we just wear it out, or what do we do? So we need to know that. And what is that? And do not make your hands as chained to your neck or extend it completely and thereby become blamed and insolvent. Meaning, choose a balanced life, not too stingy, not too overspending. Indeed, your Lord extends provisions for whom he wills and restricts it. Indeed, he is ever concerning his servants, aware and seeing. So, what do we learn here? In this, parents also, foster parents deserve same status, and in-laws deserve it too. Your teachers from your kindergarten up until now, make the offer them to take care of less fortunate relatives if you have any, and be gentle and be to masakin, needy people. Keep your tone of voice very respectful when you talk to them. And of course, be careful about the money that you spend. Spend it in a way that's supposed to be spent, because every dollar you spend that is not needed, you and I will be questioned about them and feel the pain of others. From ayah number 31, use them wisely. If you see the next slide, inshallah, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ. In this, we learn that killing the kids, how is it? Is it something that is okay or not? Because it's very important to know that. So ayah number 31, we learn, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ. And do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. People say, You know, it's getting very expensive to have kids nowadays. I was talking to the other day somebody, and they have two dogs and no kids, and they've been married for 5 years or so. So the talk came that we will about the kids or something. They said, no, having kids is too much responsibility and they're too expensive. No, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for it. If the child is born with a mouth to eat, he's born with the hands too. So don't worry about feeding your child. It is not you. And you know, people say today, nowadays, well, that's true in the old days, but nowadays it's not true because now it's very expensive to educate your children. Well, guess what? The Sahaba didn't go to any university, right? People can be educated at home too. There is something called homeschooling too. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to go through with the conventional teaching system that we have, that we see in our society. Don't worry about it. It is Allah SWT who provides. I know personally so many families in this United States today, and they have a lot of kids and not much income to even live hand to mouth, month to month, but they're still having kids and they're still happy and they're still going to college and school and they're graduating from the universities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen. You don't even have to take loans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, provides from where our hearts and mind cannot even think. So never fear out of poverty. And this is why people say Allah is Ar-Razzaq, He can make it happen. The problem here is that we don't know how to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We provide for them and for you. Highlight this thing. Allah is the one who provides for them and for you. Indeed, their killing is ever a great sin. And do not approach unlawful sexual intercourse. Indeed, it is ever an immorality and is evil as the way. It is because of the zina, adultery, and people get pregnant. And you know why Islam doesn't allow this? One of the main reasons is that children that are born in this case don't have any lineage. It is a right of a child to know the lineage, who is his father. And imagine if the child is born and he doesn't even know what the father is. It's devastating upon him. It is really breaking his personality and he loses his confidence because he would never know who his father is. And do not kill the soul that is person which Allah has forbidden except by the right, and whoever is killed unjustly, we have given his heir authority, but let him not exceed limits in the matter of taking life. Indeed, he has been supported by the law, and do not approach the poverty of an orphan, property and orphan. Why? Take care of the orphan because they are the weakest member of the society, and this is what Islam teaches us to do. Accept in the way that is best until he reaches maturity and fulfill every commitment. Question: do we fulfill any commitment that we have? Indeed, the commitment is ever that about which one will be questioned, and give full measures when you measure and weigh with an even that is honest balance, and that is that best way and the best result. And do not pursue that of which you have no knowledge. Indeed, the hearing of the sight and the heart about all those one will be questioned. What do we learn from this ayah? These eyes, these ears, and these hearts are the faculty that can commit most sin and that can commit most good deeds too. So we need to understand how to use these things. Do not use these things in arguments, in such things, and watching something. And because imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make you an eye deaf any given day. If these eyes are taken, if this heart is telling you to do something, so use them wisely because these are the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These can be your way to enter to Jannah, and these can be your way to be away from Jannah. And then, do not walk upon the earth exultantly. What do we learn here? Even walking matters. Walk with humility. You should not be walking in a way that, oh, I am so this and this. Today we see that our kids are told to learn this way, that you are the best. And people say it, I am the best. Allah says, no, even in your walking should be humility indeed. You will never tear the earth apart and you will never reach the mountains in height. All that is aforementioned, its evil is ever in the sight of your Lord detested. That is from you, what your Lord has revealed to you, O Prophet of Wisdom. And, O mankind, do not make as equal with Allah another deity, lest you be thrown into hell, blamed and banished. Then, has your Lord chosen you for having sons and taking that is adopted from among the angels' daughters? Indeed, you say a grave saying. So what do we learn here? Zina leads to unknown lineage, and be beneficial for others, fulfill the needs of others, give shoulder to cry on, be there available for others so they feel comfortable talking to you, but instead of being arrogant and walking exultantly. Allah is Razik and He can provide anybody, anytime. Just rest assured and be humble. Expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and use your eyes, ears and hearts in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn that Allah is the Lord of the universe. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِيَذَكَّرُوا وَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. And we have certainly diversified the contents of this Qur'an, that they, meaning the mankind, may be reminded, but it does not increase them, that is, the disbelievers, except in aversion. If the iman is not there, people can go even more astray with this Qur'an. Say, O Prophet, there has been with him other gods, as they say, that they each would have sought to the owner of the throne away. Exalted is he and high above what they say by great sublimity. And the seven heavens and the earth and whatever is in them exalt him. Question. Can we exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inshallah. And there is not a thing except that it exalts Allah by his praise. Let's praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. You know the third kalima, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, and so many other things, the praise words we should be saying all the time, inshallah. The more zikr we do, the more we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more our hearts open up for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not understand their way exalting. Indeed, He is ever forbearing and forgiving. And when you recite the Quran, we put between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter a concealed partition, meaning the people of the Quran, the believers will be on a separate side and they will be partitioned, and no one will be able to cross this partition. So which side do we want to be? Lord alone in the Quran, they turn back in aversion. If eyes, ears and heart is not used towards obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they turn away and in aversion. So may Allah save us from that. We are most knowing of how they listen to it, and when what they listen to you, and of when they are in private conversation, when the wrongdoers say, you follow not but a man affected by magic. Look how they strike for you comparisons, but they have strayed, so they cannot find a way. And they say, when we are bones and crumbled particles, will we surely be resurrected as a new creation? Say, be you stones or iron, or any creation of that which is great within your breast, and they will say, who will restore? Who will restore us? Say, he who brought you for the first time. Then they will nod their heads towards you and say, when is that? Say, perhaps it will be soon. So what do we learn? Perhaps our death will be soon. Perhaps are we ready for it not? Perhaps the Qiyamah will start maybe today or tomorrow for us, as soon as our last breath goes. And our bodies will be regrown. There will be a rain on the Day of Judgment. And then the people will come out from their grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will regrow the body, even the burned body, even the body that is into ashes or maybe drowned in the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them with a new body. And it is for real. And on the day, He will call you and you will respond with praise of Him and think that you had not remained in the world except for a little. Now, question here is that, if this world is so little, then why is it that people are forgetting that they have to go? The body decomposes completely, Allah will regrow it. How is my preparation for Akhirah? This is the goal for you. You can write for your notes. The big meeting day is coming. And what is my preparation? The information is different than conviction of Akhirah. Think of Akhirah as that, you know, having information is one thing, and when you actually are convinced about it, it's one thing else. Like, for example, you know, you say the water in the tap water that's coming out is very hot. This is an information, right? But when you actually touch that water and burn your finger, that is conviction. So people have the information about the Akhirah, but the conviction is not there. So when somebody say, you know what, there's a war going on in, let's say, Iraq. And this is an information, but when you actually go there, the people who are actually taking the bullets on their head, this is conviction. So we need to really convince ourselves this akhirah is for real. And self-analysis, do I find Quran heavy, boring, too much, or do we enjoy it? And do I feel closer coming to this Quran, or am I going further away? This is the question you and I can ask, because this is the end goal, inshallah. And let's go to the next paragraph. Ayah number 53 to 60. In that we learn inappropriate use of tongue opens up the doors of fitna. So important. You know why? Because it is our tongue that takes us in either direction. It is our tongue that makes us go astray. And sometimes people just talk. Inshallah, let's make intention right now that I'm going to use my tongue wisely. Because the more we talk, the more inappropriate stuff may come out and the more responsible we are. Because every word we utter from our tongue has been written down. Remember, we just learned that the book that you're writing every single day, every single moment, it's being written and it will be presented to you in a form of writing, so you cannot deny, and it will be the witness for you and I. Ayah number 53. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And tell my servants to say that which is best. What do we learn here? Either you say something good or don't say it. Instead of wasting time calling people and complaining about the past or complaining about your friends or complaining about your family, if you have nothing good to say about them, then it is better not to talk at all. So next time, try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want to hear any gossip or any bad mouthing. So if somebody else is doing it, what should you do? Change the subject right away. Because you don't want your ears to hurt on the Day of Judgment. You don't want your eyes to see something that can hurt you on the Day of Judgment. And you don't want to say anything in return when somebody's talking about and complaining. And you know what? Sometimes we as people complain about something that is just is very genuine. And we justify it. It is true. Of course it is true. That's what it is, right? This is why you're saying it. So what do we learn here? Either say good or stay quiet. And this is not easy. This is just very hard to do. But of course, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more taqwa will come in, it will become easier. All you and I have to do is just have intention. Can we make an intention right now? I'll give you 2 seconds pause to make an intention. And indeed, shaitan induces dissension among them. Indeed, shaitan is ever to mankind a clear enemy. Question. Do I truly consider shaitan as an enemy, or is it just an information only? Your Lord is most knowing of you. If he wills, he will have mercy upon you. Or if he wills, he will have punishment. He will punish you. And we have not sent you a prophet over them a messenger. And your Lord is most knowing of whoever is in the heavens and the earth. And we have made some of the prophets exceeds other in various ways. And to David, we gave the book of Psalms. Say, invoke those you have claimed as gods besides him, for they do not possess the ability for removal of adversity from you or for its transfer to someone else. Those whom they invoke seek means of access to their Lord, striving as to which of them would be nearest, and they hope for his mercy and fear his punishment. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord is ever feared, and there is no city but that we will destroy it before the day of resurrection, or punish it with a severe punishment that has ever been in register inscribed. And nothing has prevented us, meaning nothing prevents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sending signs, that is miracles, except that the former people denied them. What do we learn? By seeing, miracles don't come. You know, people like to pay attention a lot of time. Oh, the sky is looking like this, and I see something like that, and look at this miracle in their life. No, miracles did not increase iman. If it would, then Fir'aun would be Muslim too. So, and we gave Thamud and the she-camel as a visible sign, but they wronged her. And we send not the signs except as a warning. Every time when people are asking any miracle, they end up in trouble. Because if the miracle does come and they still refuse to believe it, guess what? The punishment is going to be even harder and harsher. And remember, O Prophet, when we told you, indeed, your Lord has encompassed the people, and we did not make the sight which we showed you except as a trial for the people as was the accursed tree mentioned in the Quran. And we threatened, that is, warned them, but it increases them not except in great transgression. What did we learn in this paragraph? Only ask Allah for everything. No partners. Don't go to any grave. Don't talk to anybody. Only Allah can provide you. Nobody can. And be careful of your words, what you say. Because your words can be just like a sword. And thus, you know, they say the physical wound can be healed, but the wound that is on the heart, it stays forever. So be very gentle and very careful, because you don't want to hurt somebody in this dunya so much so that they're always saying bad things about you. And when you die, you will have a hard time passing that point before entering. So think before you say. This is the easiest thing you can do. You know why? Because if we start thinking, if we give ourselves 30-second pause before replying to anybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease it. Soft-spoken people are liked by all. Here we can judge ourselves. That am I liked by the people or not? And be aware of shaitans and his tactics, because this is what he does. He really entices you. Go ahead, get revenge, say it, speak up. Why should you hold back? He's the one who did wrong. You can say it too. And then, no, don't do that, because this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to do. If shaitan is enticing you, should you listen to shaitan or should you listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the next paragraph, ayah number 61 to 69, we learn that shaitan's easy target. What is the shaitan's easy target? We will learn in this ayah number 61. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. And mention, when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except for the Iblis, he said, should I prostrate to one who created from clay? Notice here the arrogance in the sentence. Iblis said, do you see this one whom you have honored above me? And if you delay me that my death until the day of resurrection, I will surely destroy his descendants except for a few. Notice here, he has this determination to destroy all of the descendants of Adam alayhi salam, except for the few will be saved. And you know who those few are? The one who actually humbled themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, go for whoever of them follows you. Indeed, hell will be the recompense for all of you. An ample recompense, meaning hell is very big and huge. It will never fill up. There will be so many people, if they are committing wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them do it. But, and insight to senselessness, whoever you can among them with your voice, and assault them with your horses and foot soldiers, and become a partner in the wealth, in their wealth and in their children, and promise them. But shaitan does not promise except illusion. I want you to highlight this ayah number 64, because in this we learn the tactics of shaitan. How is he attacking? You know how? In the few things I mentioned here, I want you to number them. And insight to the senselessness. Whoever you can among them with your voice, meaning the voice of the shaitan. What are the voices of the shaitan? Voices of the shaitan could be anything that distracts you from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be in any form. It could be in the form of politics. It could be in the form of a family politics. It could be in the form of gossip or anything, envy, and anything that turns you away from Allah and keeps you busy in what you're doing, that is the voice of shaitan. So make dua, and of course the instruments also come on the top of the list. These are the voices of shaitan. So we need to really be careful about what are the voices of shaitan that we hear and see all the time, and are we listening to those voices? And assault them with your horses and foot soldiers, meaning other people, and become a partner in their wealth and their children. Notice here, he will take the portion of the wealth and the children. How does he do that? By making you spend your wealth in a way you're not supposed to be, by making your children going in a wrong direction that you're not supposed to be doing. So isn't that what we see today? So we have to be very careful. You know, this is what shaitan is doing. And promise them, but shaitan does not promise them except in delusion. Indeed, over my believing servants, There is for you no authority, and sufficient is your Lord as a disposer of affairs. Ayah number 65 gives us hope that Shaitan cannot take over for those who are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِبَادِ لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٍ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. Highlight this ayah, because this ayah is an ayah of hope that can save us from Shaitan. If we know the tactics of Shaitan, if we know that we want to be saved, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And it is your Lord who drives the ship of you for you through the sea, that you may seek of His bounty, and indeed He is ever to you merciful. And when adversity touches you at sea, lost are all those you invoke except for Him. But when He delivers you to the land, you turn away from Him, and ever is man ungrateful. Then do you feel secure that instead He will not cause part of the land swallow you, or send against you a storm of stones? Then you would not find for yourself an advocate. And or do you feel secure that He will not send you back into that is the sea another time, and send upon you a hurricane of wind and drown you for what you denied? Then you would not find for yourself against us an avenger. What do we learn in this lesson? We learn that Shaitan's target is our kids and money. How can we save our kids and money? By being very careful, by giving zakah, by being mindful, where do we spend money? Think twice, where are you spending money? Is it the money in the way of Shaitan, or is it the money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what are we raising our kids for? What is the mindset that we're giving to our kids? Are we making them within dunya oriented? Oh kid, get this education, get this degree, so you can be a doctor and something. That's the only mindset are we giving? Or are we giving them the mindset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that you should be living for? Only Allah's sincere slaves are saved. Let's make dua right now for you and I. Oh Allah, make us sincere slaves of Allah. Say Ameen. Allah gave honor to humans, and Shaitan is angry that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the honor to human, and he doesn't like it. This is why he wants to take it away from them and seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. And a pious believer recognizes the voices of Shaitan. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us taqwa, so we're able to recognize the voices of Shaitan before we get indulged into it. And any voice that takes you away from Haq is from Shaitan. There's only two things. If you go to the next slide, you learn a few things about Shaitan and how to be saved from Shaitan, right? So, save yourself from envious behavior. Write it down. Don't be envying people. Have tawakkul in Allah, full conviction. Do zikr, dua, ta'awuz, and ayat al-kursi. Last two ayahs of Surah Baqarah also saves you from Shaitan. They are so important. They are like a fort that can keep the Shaitan away for that day when you recite them. And recite Allah's kalima, like Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wallahu akbar, and anything that has a glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can save you from the Shaitan. And of course, to try to stay in a state of wudu, because this is how you're saved from Shaitan, and salah also save you from Shaitan. Staying away from useless talk and excessive food, very important. You know why? Because the more you talk, the more Shaitan traps you. And when we eat excessive food and we always think about food only, that's when Shaitan comes in. And then extreme behaviors of any kind, extreme emotions, extreme happiness, extreme crying, extreme complaining, extreme of whatever it is. That's the way Shaitan enters your body. And that's where he controls extreme anger, extreme sadness, extreme sorrow, extreme grief. Everything. These are the ways, the channels, the doorways the Shaitan enters from. So try to stay away from them. And then some steps how Shaitan attacks that we need to understand. Number one thing he does is he makes you disbelieve, right? And if he's failed in that, then you become a believer, then he makes you do shirk, minor or major shirk. And he tries to entice you to do shirk in such a way that you don't even know that it is a shirk. And then if you don't do shirk, then he indulges you in a major sins. And if you're able to avoid major sins, then he indulges you in a minor sins. And if he is able to avoid you doing that, then he wants you to leave the major good deeds that you do. And then if you still stick to that, then he wants you to leave birth. And then if you still stick to that, then he keeps you busy in doing extra voluntary goodies and missing out the basic necessities of Islam. And if you still keep on doing that, then he gets you into the mubah. Mubah is doubtful deeds. And he makes those doubtful deeds, the deeds that are innovative deeds, the deeds that are bid'ah, and he makes you so happy and excited about those deeds that you don't even think about what is the real purpose of Islam. So may Allah truly save us, all of us, with shaitan. In the next paragraph, from ayah number 70 to 78, we learn Qiyamah is hidden for now, but it will be there. It will come in front one day. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we have certainly honored the children of Adam and carried them on the land and the sea and provided for them of the good things and preferred them over much of what we have created with the definite preference. And mention, O Prophet, the day we will call forth every people with their record of deeds. We will be called. Think of your name. Try to make your ears hear your name, that Allah SWT will be calling on the Day of Judgment. Then whoever is given the record in the right hand, those will read their records. Can you imagine you reading your own record book in front of people? In this dunya, you can hide away anything, but it will be all open. And injustice will not be done to them even as much as a thread inside the Dead Sea. And whoever is blind in this life, meaning physically blind? No, the blind of the heart, will be blind in the day hereafter and more stray in the way. And indeed, they were about to tempt you away from that which we revealed to you in order to make you invent about us something else, and then they would have taken you as a friend. What do we learn here? Such a scary thing. And if we had not strengthened you, you would have almost inclined to them a little. Then if you had, we would have made you taste double the punishment in life and double here in the death, after death. And then you would not find for yourself against us a helper, meaning nobody will come to help you then. Here people can spend hours, days, life, months, the whole life for their friends. They will not be there. So what should we do? Please friends all the time or please Allah all the time? And indeed, they were about to provoke, that is, drive you from the land, that is Makkah, to evict you therefrom. And then, when they do, they will not remain there after you except for a little. This is our established way for those we had sent before you of our messengers, and you will not find in our way any alteration. And what should we do? Establish prayer at the decline of the sun. Establish prayer at the decline of the sun. Are we doing that? From its meridian until the darkness of the night, and also the Quran, that is the recitation of the dawn. Inna Quran al Fajri kana mashhuda. Indeed, the recitation of the dawn is ever witnessed. Try to recite longer surah in this over you and I. Memorize some surahs, inshallah. And what we learn from this section is that be prepared for the akhirah. Don't live just blindly. Don't follow the crowd. Because when you follow the crowd, you'll be lost. Follow the truth instead. And Quran in Fajr will be the witness. May Allah make us those who actually say the longer ayahs in the Fajr time and recite the Quran in the morning. And Shaitan's plan is to make us miss Fajr. Ask, what will be in my book of deed? What kind of writings am I writing on my book of deed? In the next paragraph, ayah number 79 to 84, we learn that Medina became Mukhraj Sidqin because of Hijrah. What does that mean? That when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't go to Medina, when he went to the Medina, because now the deen was there and the migration took place. So what do we learn here? When people migrate for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make that place. Migrate from the sins. If you can do the migration physically, migrate from the sins. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will make this place a Mukhraj Sidqin. What does that mean? This is a beautiful dua. Mark these ayah number, inshallah. Because this is a dua we should be saying every time. You can make this dua for your own city too, wherever you live. Say, Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidqin fa akhrijni mukhraj sidqin wa ja'alni min ladunka sultana nasira. And say, my Lord, cause me to enter a sound entrance and to exit a sound exit, and grant me from yourself a supporting authority. You know what that means? If you say for your city, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your city wherever you are, mudkhala sidqin. So every time you enter somewhere or exit some place, if you're traveling from one state to another, one place to another, say this dua. Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidqin wa akhrijni mukhraja sidqin wa ja'alni min ladunka sultana nasira. And you know, this is why the sultana nasira is help, the supporting authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the sahaba, they became the ansarullah. So whenever you are doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this dua, min ladunka sultana nasira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the supporting authority that you can together do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How amazing this dua is, insha'Allah. And from part of the night, pray with this recitation, the Quran, and additional worship for you. It is expected that your Lord will resurrect you to a praise station. This Maqama Mahmuda is only for Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he is the one who's going to receive this on the Day of Judgment. And say, وَقُلْ رَبِّي أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. And say, truth has come and falsehood has departed. Indeed, it's falsehood by nature. Quran is a shifa. It will cure any illnesses, whether it's physical or whether it's mental or spiritual. Everything, emotional sicknesses are gone away too. There was this woman and she was a severe patient of depression. And she said, you know what, she sleeps all day long because at night she's not able to sleep. And she sleeps during the day till 3 p.m. And then somebody told her about these classes, and she started coming to these classes. And she said, you know what, I was taking at least half a bottle of medicine every day, and I was still so depressed. And now her depression is gone because now she found a purpose of life. So this Quran is really shifa for any illnesses. It could be physical illness too. This is why you can recite Surah Al-Fatiha on it. So, inshallah, number 82, and we bestow favor upon man, that is the disbelieving man, say, each work according to his manner, but your Lord is most knowing of what is best guided in way. What did we learn from this paragraph? Medina was unknown until when Prophet ﷺ came, became valuable. Iman can make you and I valuable and the place that we live valuable. So value wherever you live and make dua for this city, the town that you live in. Make dua, and then Ansari Medina were the result of this dua, and Quran is a rahmah and shifa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do tahajjud, inshallah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do zikr of Allah at the tahajjud time. In ayah number 79, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do tahajjud. It was mandatory for him. It was on a fard. But for his ummah, it is not fard, but it is something that Allah loves. So if Allah loves something, should we love it too? We should, inshallah. And next paragraph, inshallah, let's see ayah number 85 to 90. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says it, he sends the ruh, and this is what it is. So they ask question about this. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, قُلِ الْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. That's all. We shouldn't try to get into too much how it works and what is it, because these are mutashabihat. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So for us, this answer is enough. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah? That it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they ask you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the soul. Say, the soul is of the affair that is concern of my Lord. And you, that is mankind, have not been given of knowledge except a little. So, should we do? Should we argue about it? Should we try to come up and converse? No, we should not. You know why? Because it is not up to you and I. We're nobody to talk, question the things that Allah Ta'ala didn't give us any knowledge of. Right? So, inshallah. With that which we reveal to you, then you would not find for yourself concerning it an advocate against us, except we have lived it with you as a mercy from your Lord. Indeed, His favor upon you has ever been great. And say, if mankind and the jinn gathered in order to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce the like of it, even if they were to each other assist, meaning no jinn, no man can ever produce a book like that. Do we have this conviction in our heart? That's what we should be asking ourselves. And we have certainly diversified for the people in the Quran from every kind of example, but most of the people refuse, accept disbelief. And they say, we will not believe you until you break open for us from the ground a spring. Miracles do not help, but they would ask miracles. Or until you have a garden of the palm trees and the grape and make rivers gush forth within them in force and abundance. You know, it is like this. If you ask me, since you are teaching us this, why don't you just make this color of the carpet change from blue to green? This is like this they were asking. They were not believing Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are the excuses they come up with, right? Or you make the heaven fall upon in the fragments as you have claimed. Or you bring Allah and the angels before us. Or you have a house of ornament that is gold. Or you ascend into the sky. And even then, we will not believe in your ascension until you bring down to us a book we may read. Say, exalted in my law is my Lord. Was I ever but a human messenger? Anything from us at any time. So value it. Time is now before it runs out. No one can produce anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah can bestow His bounty at anyone. And ruh is basically a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next paragraph, we learn ayah number 94 to 100. True believers don't need a miracle to believe. What do we learn here? And let's see ayah number 94. And what prevented the people from believing when guidance came to them, except that they said, has Allah sent a human messenger? Say, if there were upon the earth angels walking securely, we would have sent down to them from the heavens and angels as a messenger. Say, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Make highlight this dua. Allah SWT is saying, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا شَهِيدًا بَيْنِ وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, sufficient is Allah as witness between me and you. Indeed, He is ever of service, aware and seeing. We can ask question, is Allah enough for me? Or is He not? Am I looking for more things, more beliefs? Do I need to do any wazifa? Do I need to come up with a system where they can tell me I can recite this and I can recite that and then my problems will be solved? Or do I truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And whoever Allah guides is a rightly guided. Question, do we really believe it? If we do, then say Alhamdulillah. And whoever He sends stray, you will never find for them protectors besides Him. And we will gather them on the day of resurrection, falling on their faces, blind, dumb, and deaf. May Allah give us eyesight, ears, and speaking ability in this dunya for haq, for truth. And their refuge is hell every time it subsides. We increase for them a blazing fire. But that is their recompense because they disbelieve in our verses and said, when we were bones and crumbled particles, that Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, is the one able to create the likes of them, and He was appointed in for them a term about which there is no doubt, but the wrongdoers refuse to accept His relief. Say to them, if you possess the depositories of the mercy of my Lord, then you would withhold out of fear of spending, and ever has man been stingy. And we had certainly given Musa 9 evident signs. So as the children of Israel about, he came to them, and Pharaoh said to him, indeed, I think, O Musa, that you are affected by magic. Musa said, you have already known that none has sent down these signs except the Lord of the heavens and the earth, or evident, and indeed, I think, O Pharaoh, that you are destroyed. So he intended to drive them from the land, but we drowned him and those with him all together. And we had said after him, that is Pharaoh, to the children of Israel, dwell in the land. And when there comes the promise, that is appointment of the hereafter, we will bring you forth in one gathering. And with the truth we have sent this Quran down. And with the truth it has descended. And we have not sent you, O Prophet, except as a bringer of the good tidings and a warner. And it is the Quran which we have separated. So what it is the Quran that we have separated by intervals, that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period. And we have sent it down progressively. Say, believe in it or do not believe. Indeed, those who were given knowledge before it, when it is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in prostration. This ayah number 107 highlighted for those who listen to this Quran, their heads are falling down on prostration. May Allah make us among those who prostrate in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, exalted is our Lord. Indeed, the promise of our Lord has been fulfilled. and they fall upon their faces weeping, and this is Quran, increase them in humble submission. Highlight this ayah number 109 for yourself and I. You know why? Because this ayah says the people of the Quran should be humble, extreme humbleness, and they should humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, call upon Allah or call upon the Most Merciful Ar-Rahman, whichever name you want, you call, to him belongs the best of the names. And do not recite too loudly in your prayer or too quietly, but seek between, that is intermediate way, and say praise to Allah. This last ayah is beautiful. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ كَتَكْبِيرًا. And say, praise to Allah who has not taken a son and has no partners in his dominion and has no need a protector out of weakness, and glorify him with great glorification. Alhamdulillah. Yes, we have completed the Surah Al-Isra, and this was a beautiful surah. Now we're going to do the Surah Kahf. Let's make the art to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time and we're able to meet the target with a lot of learning, inshallah. Let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf, and we'll go from there. While you're listening to the recitation, what should you be doing? Contemplating, thinking, and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to the recitation now.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf is a beautiful surah. Everybody is very familiar with this. We're supposed to recite in every Jummah. The one we learn from the Hadith that the one who recites it on every Friday will be in the light from one Friday to next. So inshallah, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to recite the surah every Friday. And also, it says from the fitna of Dajjal, if we can memorize first 10 ayahs, and in another narration, we learn about the last 10 ayahs as well. So at least try to memorize first 10 ayahs. This will save us from the fitna of Dajjal. And also, this surah mentions about 4 major trials that has to do with the belief, the wealth, the knowledge and power. And these trials comes in every day in our life. This is why we need to recite the surah every Friday with understanding, so we know what kind of fitna is coming, what kind of trial is coming in my life, so I can really take care of it. Today, a lot of people recite the Surah Al-Kahf, not even knowing what are they learning, not even knowing how to handle the fitnas, and not even knowing anything. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who actually recite. When they recite, they know what are they reciting, and they can really benefit from this surah. This surah is filled with so many treasures. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to truly grasp every detail of this surah, inshallah. For now, let's go to the first ayah, ayah number 1 to 12. We learn about Iman drives a person. How does it do that? We learn here in the beginning. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Azhi anzala ala abdihi kitaba wa lam yaj'an lahu iwaja. Notice here, the surah is beginning with the Alhamdulillah. This is the third surah of the Quran that begins with Alhamdulillah. And the previous surah we just ended, that was ended in Subhanallah. So what do we learn from this? We learn that we supposed to be keeping our tongue moist with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Alhamdulillah, sometimes Subhanallah, MashaAllah. And in this surah, you will learn about MashaAllah, and you will learn La Hawla wa La Quwwata, and you will learn Alhamdulillah, and you will also learn InshaAllah. So, if you summarize the surah, You're supposed to be grateful for all the knowledge and information that Allah SWT has given you and I. And all praise to Allah, who has sent down upon His servants Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the book, and He has made therein any deviance. He has made it straight to warn of severe punishment from Him, and to give good tidings to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward, that is paradise, in which they will remain forever, and to warn those who say Allah has taken a son. They have no knowledge of it, nor had their fathers. Grave is the word that comes out of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they do not believe in the message, and out of sorrow. Question: do we have this thing in our hearts and minds for the people who are away from Quran to bring them? We need to develop this love in our heart for people so that we can bring them to Quran. Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth adornment for it, and we may test them as to which of them is best indeed. This is the purpose of life. Allah SWT has sent us so He can test you who is best indeed. And you know what? Majority of the time, people even don't realize it, that this is the test we're given. And وَإِنَّ لَجَعَلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. And indeed, we will make that which is upon into a barren ground. Or have you thought that the companions of the cave and the inscriptions were among our signs of wonder? From now until ayah number 26, we will learn about the story of people of cave. These were the two few young boys who got up and left the city to save their iman. Here you and I can learn from this story is that, are we worried about iman? Saving of our iman? Because these boys left just because of iman. They didn't migrate it for the money. They didn't migrate it for the wealth. And they did not migrate for any other reason. They migrated. They left the place only to save their iman. This is how valuable iman is. And this is the only lesson if you can get from today's lesson. Inshallah, it will be enough. Just value your iman. Make this a motto of your life. Value my iman. And mention when the youth retreated to the cave and said, "Our Lord, grant us from yourself mercy and prepare for us from our affairs right guidance." And this, notice here, youth, they were young boys. Young boys. Can you imagine? They were so careful about their iman. And what you and I can do about this? We should make this dua. Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada. They made dua that Allah SWT grant our affairs right way, because we want to save our iman. This is why Allah SWT guided them, and they were saved from this torment of this king that they were living with. And you know what? Allah SWT can have mercy upon anybody who gets up for the way of Allah SWT. So we cast over a cover of sleep over their ears within the cave for a number of years. Then we awakened them that we might show which of the two factions was most precise in calculating what extent they had remained in time. So what do you learn from this section? Ask Allah to guide us and memorize this dua. Make it a compass of life. The bigger sacrifice means bigger help of Allah SWT. They sacrifice their home, their comfort, their family, their love, their lifestyle. This is why the bigger the sacrifice, the bigger help comes. And save your iman, value it. And true rahmah is to live with a purpose. In other words, you can say the purpose of life is a life with purpose. This dunya is a place of trials. Trial will come. There's nothing. The curveballs will be thrown to you. And how you take it, this is the question we need to ask. So in the next paragraph, we learn ayah number 13 to 17. Leave people behind and love Allah. Don't worry about what people say. We spend most of our time, majority of our time, worrying about what people will say. People will not be there with you and I on a Jannah, on a day of resurrection. They will not be there as an helper. So who should we please? Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People does not matter. Ayah number 13. It is we who relate to you, O Prophet, this story in truth. Indeed, they were youths who believed in their Lord. Question: do we believe in Allah? And we increase them in guidance. When we believe in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. But what kind of belief is needed here? True belief, meaning such a strong belief that I want to be a Muslim. I want to be a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And then the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of mercy in such a way that you cannot even imagine. Then the thing that you used to dislike about Islam, you love it. The thing that you used to find hard about Islam, you want to do it. The thing that people say make fun of Islam, you say, you know what, this is the best thing that happens in my life. The people who used to enjoy all those entertainment things, now the person of Iman says, no, you know what, my entertainment is in the Quran. People enjoy and laugh all day long, and you say, you know what, I want to cry all day long because I want to belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mindset shifts. The mindset changes, and this is what we, you and I, can long for it. And you know what the benefits of it is? And we bound that is firm their hearts. I want you to highlight this ayah. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِسْقَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنْ نَدْعُوَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. When people come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold on to their hearts. You know what that means? This is such a big blessing. Try to feel it. When you say, oh Allah, I accept you in every way, whatever you say, you will feel this rabat in your heart. This rabat means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold on to your heart. Then you don't feel empty. Then you don't feel lonely. Then you don't feel sad. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He can give you and I this rabat in this dunya. And those our people have taken besides Him, deities, why do they not bring for worship of them a clear evidence? And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie? What do we learn? May Allah save us from lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the youth said to one another, and when you have withdrawn from them that which they worship other than Allah, retreat to the cave. Your Lord will spread out for you of His mercy and will prepare for you from your affairs facility. Min amrikum mirfaqa. Do we have this conviction? These young boys have it. Can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this conviction too? Let's make the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give a conviction the way these boys have. Why? Because they were able to leave the comfort of their home for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we ready to do that? And had you seen present, you would see the sun when it rose inclining away from their cave on the right, and when it is set passing away from them on the left, while they were lying within an open space thereof, that when that was from the signs of Allah, He whom builds Allah guidedly guided, but he whom he sends stray, never will you find for him a protecting guide. So what did we learn? Young youth is a treasure of Ummah. We need to make effort to save them. We need to bring them to Islam and keep them to Islam by connecting them to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. As a mother, what you and I can do is take some time out, 10-15 minutes before iftari time, just sit with them and share an ayah and two every day. Can we do that? Let's make intention right now. Depending on the age of your kid, if they're kids, show them the love of Allah. If they're a little bit older, talk to them about the stories. And if they're teenagers, talk to them about all these stories that we are learning right now. And action needs to take in place before the help of Allah comes. These people got up and left first, only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him, right? Let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 18 to 22. We learn here, Mu'min sleep fears people. What does that mean? These people, where they were sleeping, these young boys, they had so much minhum roba, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some kind of a robe in their hearts of other people, the terror that they would not even come there. And you know what? When a believer is true believer, even his sleep scares non-Muslims. Even his sleep scares not Muslim. This is why we learned the story of Umar radiallahu anhu. One day he was sleeping in a masjid, and he was lying down in such a way that half of his body was under the sun and half of the body was under the shade, and he didn't even feel it. He was sleeping like a baby. And you know what? People, Qaisar of Kisra, the superpowers of the time, they were scared of this Umar. Why? Because Umar radiallahu anhu's iman was high. So let's make dua right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the iman that look at us and use us and abuse us. Instead, we should be the one who is establishing the society with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the other way around. Today we see Muslims are living the life of their choice. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that non-Muslims are not fearful of you. So, and you would think them awake while they were asleep, and we turned them to the right and to the left while their dog stretched his forelegs at the entrance. If you had looked at them, of you have remained there? They said, we have remained apart a day or part of the day. They said, your Lord is most knowing of how long you remain. So send one of you with the silver coin of yours to the city, and let them look to which is the best of the food, and bring you the provision from it, and let him be cautious, and let no one be aware of you. Indeed, if they come to know of you, they will stone you or return you to their religion, and never would you succeed them ever. Look at the worry that they had. They didn't want to leave the iman. Why? Because they valued it. And similarly, we caused them to be found, that they who found them would know that the promise of Allah SWT is truth, and the hour that is no doubt, that was when they disputed among themselves about their affair, and then said, construct over them a structure. Their Lord is most knowing about them, said those who prevailed in the matter. We will surely take over ourselves over them a masjid. They, that is people, will say, there will be three, the fourth of them being their dog, and they will say, there will be five, and the sixth of them will be being their dog, guessing at the unseen, and they will say, there will be seven, and the eighth one of them, they will be dog. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Lord is most knowing of their number, none knows them except a few, so do not argue about them except with an obvious argument, and do not inquire about them among everyone. What do we learn here? A lot of lessons from this section too. But here for us, just remember one thing, that people, instead of seeking guidance and taking lessons and learning Ibra from the waking up of these people after 300 years, people got into what? They forgot that why they were like this. They didn't took this miracle as a lesson, and they didn't realize that it was the iman they were trying to save, and this is what we need to worry about, a mausoleum on their graves. And this is what people do today too. Instead of learning lesson, they only talk about, let's just a nice mausoleum there, let's go visit, and let's visit this grave and that. And they don't learn lesson that the pious people who are in there, let's be like them. Learn to be, they have iman like them. And another thing we learn here is that people sometimes get into this counting, head count. So what do we learn from this section? Qiyamah is real, the day of judgment will come. Time of death is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and a believer's iman bring terror on the hearts of others, and no argument without knowledge. Don't just do, people spend hours talking about things which they have no knowledge of, and have hope in Allah. Names and head counts does not matter. People want to say, you know, this scholar, how popular it is, how many people show up. That doesn't mean anything. Even if nobody show up, it doesn't mean that the scholar is not a good scholar, right? Taking lessons is the real purpose of the story. Now, ayah number 23 to 31, we learn, people of the cave passed the test. How did they do that? Because they were tested. They left the home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the test, and they actually became the chosen one in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never say of anything, indeed, I will do that tomorrow. What do we learn here? Illa insha'Allah. Importance of insha'Allah. We must say insha'Allah, and want everything that we are about to do, it's a requirement. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of that stuff. Whatever you are saying insha'Allah for. Except when adding, if Allah wills, and remember your Lord when you forget it, and say perhaps, my Lord will guide me to what is nearer, that is, then this is right conduct. And they remain in their cave for 300 years and exceed it by 9. Say, Allah is most knowing of how long they remain. He has knowledge of the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth. How seeing is He, and how hearing? They have not besides Him any protector, and He shares not His legislation with anyone. And recite, O Prophet, what has been revealed to you of books of your Lord. There is no changer of His words, and never will you find in other than Him a refuge. And keep yourself patient by being with those who call upon their Lord, and in the morning and in the evening, seeking His face, that is acceptance. And that let not your eyes pass beyond them, desiring adornment of the worldly life, and do not obey one who whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance and neglect, and say, truth is from your Lord. So whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Meaning, the choice is given to us, whether we choose to come to Allah's book or we choose not to. And indeed, we have prepared for the wrongdoers a fire whose balls will be surrounded them, and if they call for relief, they will be relieved with water like murky oil, which scalds their faces. Wretched is the drink, and evil is the resting place. Today in this dunya, if in summertime the water is not even cold, we don't want to drink it. And imagine this, may Allah save us all. Indeed, those who believe and done righteous deed, this is the ayah of hope. Those who believe, number one, and done righteous deed, number two, right? We will not allow to be lost the reward of any who did well in deeds. And those will have gardens of perpetual residence. Beneath them, river will flow. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold. Do we love jewelry in this dunya? Wait. Wait till Jannah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us beautiful jewelry of our choice. And we will wear green garments of fine silk with emerald stone jewelry with it matching. And fine silk and brocade, and reclining therein in adorned couches, excellent is the reward of good and resting place. What did we learn in this paragraph? Always say inshallah, seek guidance from Allah, good deeds are not wasted, Allah protects those who try to save their iman. May Allah make us among those who protect their iman. Follow Allah, not the desires, and rely upon Allah, and wait for Jannah willingly and happily, and decide and plan the outfits that you're going to wear in Jannah, the thing that you like in this dunya but you're not able to get it, you'll get it there. And all kinds of matching jewelry, you'll have it too, inshallah. And ayah number 32 to 44, in this paragraph, we learn the test of the will. The previous story, the story of Ashabi Kahf, the people of the cave, was about the trial of iman, right? Now this story, the next story that we're about to learn, is about the trial of wealth. And in this story, let's begin. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمَ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ mean, and present to them an example of two men. We granted to one of them two gardens of grapevines, and we bordered them with palm trees, and placed between them fields of crops. Each of the two gardens produced its fruits, and did not fall short, therefore, within them the river. And he had fruit. So he said to his companion, while he was conversing with him, I am greater than you in wealth, and mightier in number of men. See, people love to boast about what they have. I have more wealth, I have better house, I have more cars, I have this and that. My children are better than you. This is the attitude of humans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this becomes a test for us. And people get into this rut of keep up with the Joneses and doing what others are doing. This becomes test. Wealth itself is not bad. It is when you use it to show it off, that's when it becomes wrong. Let's take a 5 seconds pause and think about what do I do with my wealth and money. And he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself. He said, I do not think that this will perish ever. Look at it. People think whatever they have, the lifestyle they have, it will stay forever. It never stays forever. Life is always ever changing. And I do not think the hour will occur, and even if I should be brought back to my Lord, I will surely find better than this as a return. His companion said to him, while he was conversing with him, and his companion said to him, while he was conversing, you as a man, but as for me, he is Allah, my Lord, and I do not associate with my Lord anyone. And why did you, when you entered your garden, not say what Allah willed? Notice here, highlight this ayah in number 39. Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. This is what we're supposed to say when we see the blessings of anyone. Say, Masha Allah. And la quwwata illa billah. Why? Because then the blessings are preserved. Sometimes we say, oh wow, that's it. Oh wow is not something that will preserve the blessings. We're supposed to say, Masha Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And what Allah will has occurred there is no power except in Allah. Although you see me less than you in wealth and children, it may be that my Lord will give me something better than yours, your garden, and will send upon it a disastrous penalty from the sky, and it will be becoming a smooth, dusty ground, or its water will become sunken into the earth, so you would never be able to seek it, and his fruits were encompassed by ruin. So he began to turn his hands about in dismay over what he had spent on it, while it had collapsed upon its trellises, and said, oh, I wish I had not associated with my Lord anything. Notice here, he's saying, Lam ushrik bi rabbi ahada. What kind of shirk was he doing? Was he visiting the grave? Was he worshipping idols? No, he was thinking that his wealth and success is his effort. There was for him no company to aid him other than Allah, nor could he defend himself. And there the authority is completely for Allah. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ وَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. What do we learn here? There the authority is completely for Allah, the truth. He is the best in reward and best in outcome. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. What did we learn from this paragraph? Don't boast about your blessings. If Allah SWT has bestowed something, use it. Be grateful. Don't boast about it. Don't compare. Don't compete. And arrogance takes away the yaqeen of akhirah. Because when arrogance comes in, I am this and I am that, and the person is boastful, he forgets about akhirah. In this dunya, blessings are trial. In akhirah, blessings are gifts. This is a gem you can write for yourself, that in this dunya, if you're blessed, these are the trials. But in akhirah, these blessings will be gift. If Allah can give others, Allah can give us too. Never be jealous of others. Just ask Allah, oh Allah, my friend so-and-so, she has this, I want it too. You can give me too. Don't be jealous. Attribute success to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to your own efforts. Shirk fil tasarruf. You know what this is? Meaning, when wealth and blessings are my effort, this is called shirk. So this is not allowed, because this is kind of a shirk and no shirk is accepted. And when person has any kind of shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let them enter Jannah. And always say, MashaAllah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, when you see anything good. You know why? Because it is from the treasures of Jannah. And in the next paragraph, from ayah number 45 to 49, we learn, make wealth and children ladders to Jannah, meaning use them towards the Jannah, not away from Jannah. You know why? Because we learn in this ayah, wealth and children are but adornment of the worldly life. Al-malu wal-bununa zinatul hayati dunya. Highlight this ayah. Al-malu wal-bununa zinatul hayati dunya. Wal-baqiyatul salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala. Wealth and children are but adornment of the worldly life, but the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord. What did we learn here? Yes, these wealth that people have and children, they are adornments of this dunya. But what is it that's going to live forever? The baqiyat as-salihat. Highlight this word. And they are better to your Lord for reward and better for one's home. And warn and we will gather them and not leave behind from them anyone. It is so important that we understand that what is it that we're going to take with us? Is it the children that we spend 90% of our time with? Or is it the money that we spend 90% of the time spending it? Or is it baqiyat salihat? This is the question you and I can ask for ourselves. And They will be presented before your Lord in rows, and He will say, "You have certainly come to us just as we created you the first time, but you claimed that we would never make for you an appointment." And the records of the deed will be placed upon, and you will see the criminals fearful of that within it, and they will say, "Oh, woe to us! What is this book that leaves nothing small or great except that it has enumerated it?" Meaning, even the sigh, even the eye roll will be recorded too. And they will find what they did present before them, and your Lord does injustice to no one. This is the mindset we need to create. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very just and fair. So how we use this life, this is what matters. So what we learn in this paragraph: use your blessings wisely. Save yourself from regrets of the day. If we write meaning injustice here in this dunya, then it will be written in our book over there. Meaning, exactly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you exactly what you do in this dunya. So don't do injustice. That's what it means. Prepare for akhirah, because if we don't, we will be caught by surprise. Keep eyes on a bigger prize, and that is the day of judgment and the Jannah. And this will keep us on a straight path, inshallah. In the next paragraph, we learn ayah number 50 to 53. Shaitan is our enemy. And mention, when we said to the angels, "Prostrate to Adam," and they prostrated except for the Iblis, he was of the jinn, and departs from, that is, disobeyed the commands of his Lord, then will you take him and his descendants as allies other than me, while they are enemies to you? Wretched it is for the wrongdoers as an exchange. I did not make them witness to creation of the heavens and the earth, or to the creation of themselves, and I would not have taken the misguiders as an of shaitan. And warn of the day when he will say, "Call my partners whom you claim," and they will invoke them, but they will not respond to them, and we will put between them a valley of destruction. And the criminals will see the fire and will be certain that they are to be fallen therein, and they will not find from it a way elsewhere. What did we learn from this paragraph? Beware of shaitan's tactics, save yourself from the regrets of the day of judgment, and obey Allah now. In the next paragraph, ayah number 54 to 59, we learn about the whispers of the shaitan. What do we learn in this? People from every kind of example, but man has ever been most of anything prone to dispute, and nothing has prevented the people from believing when guidance came to them and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, except that there must befall them the accustomed precedent of the former people, and that the punishment should come directly before them. And we send not the messengers except as the bringers of the good tidings and the warners, and thus those who disbelieve dispute by using falsehood to attempt to invalidate thereby the truth, and have taken my verses, that of which they are warned in ridicule. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمَ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ. And who is more unjust than one who is reminded of the verses of his Lord, but turns away from them and forgets what his hand have put forth? Highlight this ayah for ourselves. Indeed, we have placed over their hearts coverings lest they understand it. This is why people don't understand anything. And in their ears, deafness. And if you invite them to guidance, they will never be guided than ever. And your Lord is forgiving, the possessor of the mercy. Wa rabbukal ghafuru zur rahma. Highlight this. Believe in it. If we were to impose blame upon them for what they earn, he would have hastened for them the punishment. Rather, for them is an appointment from which they will never find an escape. And those cities, we destroyed them when they wronged, and we made for their destruction an appointed time. What did we learn here? Humans have disputing nature. They're always arguing. Know yourself and save yourself. Because if we know this is what our nature is, then we will be more able to control it. And the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear. There is no doubt about that. And Zalim is the one who ignores the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from ignoring any and all ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do deeds that can save us on the big day. Meaning, know what you're doing. In ayah number 60 to 70, we learn the etiquettes of seeking knowledge. What are they? And mention, when Musa said to his boy, meaning the servant, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or continue for a long period of time. But when they reached the junction between them, they forgot their fish and it took it its course into the sea, slipping away. In the story of Musa and Khizr, we learned that Musa was in the out. What are some of the things that we need to do? How many times do we need to go out and seek knowledge and we want to? So there are so many lessons, inshallah, in this lesson. And basically, a student, a good student, should try to have all these qualities in him. So when they had passed beyond it, Musa said to his boy, bring us our morning meal. We have certainly suffered in this, our journey, much fatigue. So, and he said, did you see when we retired to the rock? Indeed, I forgot there the fish, and none made me forget it except the shaitan, that I should mention it, and it took its course into the sea amazingly. What we learned so far here is that seek knowledge from a teacher, proper setting, or else people have too many knowledges out there and they don't know the true picture of Islam. Everybody's trying to follow one aspect of it, and be determined to learn. Musa alayhi salam was so determined, like we read in this ayah, La abraha hatta abluwa, meaning I would not stop. This is what we need. We can make this determination right now. I will not stop until I learn the Quran, inshallah. And you know what? Stay in a company of a teacher or in a good environment. Because if you stay away from this environment, you will be like them. So try to seek company who are like-minded, who are also interested in seeking knowledge like you. And travel to seek knowledge. Musa alayhi salam was traveling, right? He was going all the way where he wanted to learn knowledge. And learn from the mistakes. This is going to come, inshallah, next ayahs. He said, did you see when we retired to the rock? Indeed, I forgot there the fish can forget. That's okay. That's also part of the learning. Musa said, that is what we were seeking. So they returned following their footsteps. What it means, seek from them and learn from the mistakes. And they found a servant from among our servants, that is Al-Qadr, to whom we had given mercy from us and had taught him from us a certain knowledge. Meaning, every knowledgeable has another knowledgeable upon them. Musa said to him, may I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment. Look at the etiquette. He's asking, should I, with a humbleness. And this is what we also learn here. And he said, indeed, with me, you will never be able to have patience. Meaning, for seeking knowledge, you and I really need to be patient. Alhamdulillah, you guys are having patience right now, exercising patience right this very moment by sitting patiently and learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to pay attention. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves about you and I. And Musa said, you will find me in Allah will pay, Allah's will, if Allah's will, patient, and I will not disobey you in any order. He said, then if you follow me, do not ask me about anything until I make you about it mentioned. Here we learned that seeking instructions is also important, and following instructions is part of the seeking knowledge. And being the assistant of the teacher, whatever teacher says, you have to listen and obey, inshallah. In the next paragraph, we learn in ayah number 71 to 74, we learn human is ever hasty. What does that mean? We learn here, فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَدْ out, until when they had embarked on a ship, he, that is Al-Qidr, tore it open. Musa said, Have you torn it open to drown its people? You had certainly done a grave thing. Peter said, Did I not say that with me you would never be able to have patience? Musa said, Do not blame me for what I forgot, and do not overwhelm me in my matters with difficulty. So they set out until when they met a boy, that is, Al-Qidr killed him. Musa said, Have you killed a pure soul for other than having killed a soul? You have certainly done a deplorable thing. What do we learn here? All these things Musa alayhi salam is asking, the answer will be given inshallah tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. And the lesson from these ayahs is that what is apparent, what appears to be right, it may not be the right the way you see it, right? And ilm comes with sabr. Ilm is not something that can come to you without asking and without having patience. Being a student of knowledge requires a lot of patience. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives patience to you and I so we can carry on this mission of learning after even Ramadan finishes and we become a student of knowledge, inshallah. And hard work and determination, without it, you cannot go from point A to point B in this dunya. Do you think you can go to from this dunya to Jannah without hard work? So, inshallah. And let's go to the next slide. And we just reiterate the dua that we learned for today's juz. And that is, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma. I want you to say it with me. Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma. Grant us from yourself mercy and prepare for us from our affair right guidance. And if you go to the next slide, the take-home message for today is, my parents are my source of honor. We need to really change our mindset and be extremely humble before them and make dua for them. Don't forget to make dua for them. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah make it easy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rabbana taqabbal minna.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa hasan jazasa shafaiza. Subhanallah, what beautiful lessons we learned in this verse. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And we completed our today's target, alhamdulillah, on time, exactly at 12. Alhamdulillah. Among the whole Jews, what was the point which affected you the most, dear sisters? Let's share. Let's see what's in our hearts and what we understood or what we are taking from today's Jews, inshallah wa ta'ala. Let's share. Is the chat open, dear sister? I think it's okay, alhamdulillah. Sister Ghazala, you want to say something? You've raised your hand. Leave people behind and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And why, you want to take, do you guys want to take mic for a little bit? Maybe a quick note? Yes. Okay, Sister Aisha, I'm just giving you a mic. Just take just a quick note, whatever you want to say, inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum. That we just need to really get to know ourselves. It's really important that we know ourselves so that we can actually learn how to worship Allah better.
Alhamdulillah. This is what you're taking from today's
Definitely,
may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the righteous slave of His. Ameen. This is Tawheed, Sister Tawheed.
Sister Rashida.
Okay, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, Sister Rashida.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, sister.
What really touched me was one of the things that really touched me was how we are to be with our parents, and how we should look at them and consider where they are in life and be understanding and tolerant and gentle with them.
Alhamdulillah. And now we are parents ourselves. I think it hit us most at this time, I believe. Because when we are young, we do not even realize it. But when we are parents ourselves, then it just kind of hit, you know, like hit it very hard. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with that opportunity to serve your parents, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, Sister Ghazala, I'm unmuting your mic.
I want to just say that all my life I've been giving out so much for my parents to do things like buy things and this, but I never understood what is it they're not satisfied. And today literally is an eye opening. Need the gift. I thought around my life, I just provide them what they need. They don't need the provider. They need the time, the humbleness. They need the love. And that's what is I'm lacking. So pray for me that I can fulfill that need for my parents.
Inshallah. Yes, alhamdulillah. Like, I'm at this stage, like, my kids are older. So I know exactly, you know, when you wait for them, kids are little, it's not that much, you know. But when kids are little older, when they're on their own, then you realize it. And then you put yourself in that position that what you are doing for your parents, what you expect from your kids, you know. Like, it's really, really eye-opening thing. Yes.
And I just pray, I just dua this tahajjud that, oh Allah, please show me the way. What am I doing wrong? What is it that I cannot satisfy my parents and I'm doing it?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera for sharing all the sisters. Alhamdulillah. See, this is, we completed half of the Quran, subhanAllah, today. So I thought it was very important for us to reflect what did we learn from these past 15 years. You know, it is so very important. We have been sitting patiently, listening patiently every single day. But how much it affected our heart, how much we are willing to serve our Rabb, that is so very important, and how far we are willing to go. So this is so very important. So what are we planning, you know, to do about it? What is my status now? That's what I was thinking. You know, it is a self-check. As we completed the half of the Quran, is my iman improving? Is my tawakkul upon Allah is getting stronger? Is my love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is increasing after 15 years? Am I ready for my book of deeds? This is so very important. I mean, I don't know. It just keep on hitting me that what I will do when I will be served, where I'll be given my book of deeds in my right hand or behind my back, what I'm doing to write on this book of deeds. We can write so many questions like these every day, so we can scrutinize ourselves. We have to correct ourselves surgically before it is done for us, and that will not be pretty. If we do our own surgery, if we scrutinize ourselves, we have better chances to improve ourselves. Still, we have health, life, time. This is the grace period given to us for that. But who knows? Who knows when it will be taken back? Then it will be a life full of regrets. Let's hold each other's hands on this road to Jannah. Walk together, supporting each other for this cause, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those fast on journey through Quran. May we recognize our mortal enemy and take precautions to safeguard ourselves and our families from him too. May we do not do zulm on ourselves by ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayahs and signs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in his afiyat, in his hifz wa aman, and under his rahmah. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفة فاعفو عنا فاعفو عنا فاعفو عنا. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم واستغفرك لما لا أعلم. Take good care of yourself and keep journey through Quran's team in your du'as. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحانك صلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. If life and health permitted, inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow with Juz 16, بإذن الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض.
اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض.
ولك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض.
ولك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض.
ولك الحمد أنت رب السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن.
ولك الحمد أنت رب السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن.
أنت الحق
أنت الحق
ووعدك الحق
ووعدك الحق
وقولك الحق
وقولك الحق
ولقاؤك حق
ولقاؤك حق
والجنة حق
والجنة حق
والنار حق
والنار حق
والساعة حق
والساعة حق.
اللهم لك أسلمنا وبك آمنا.
اللهم لك أسلمنا وبك آمنا
وعليك توكلنا
وعليك توكلنا
وإليك أنبنا
وإليك أنبنا
وبك خاصمنا
وبك خاصمنا
وإليك حاكمنا
وإليك حاكمنا.
اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا
اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا
وما أسررنا وما أعلنا
وما أسررنا وما أعلنا.
أنت إلهنا لا إله إلا أنت.
أنت إلهنا لا
اللهم لك الحمد بما خلقتنا ورزقتنا.
اللهم لك الحمد بما خلقتنا ورزقتنا
وهديتنا وعلمتنا
وهديتنا وعلمتنا
وأنقذتنا وفرجت عنا
وأنقذتنا وفرجت عنا